Blog Talk Radio.
It's another great night here at Speak On It Radio at blogtalkradio.com. I am a lot of here legend. I know I'm coming in kind of hyping up tonight because we were just getting it on in the green
going
room.
Down in
we were just getting it on in the green room, in the queue, whatever you want to call it. We were just getting it on. So please, y'all got to forgive me for being so hyped right now, but we got an awesome show for you tonight. Welcome back, everybody. Sorry that we missed you over the holidays, but everybody around it, that's our 1 week. That's right. That's our 1 week that we take off. So everybody, please bear with us. But we're going to talk about a lot. We got the NFL playoffs. We're going to talk about John Gruden and the Rooney Rule. If any of you don't know what the Rooney Rule is, the late Dan Rooney, who was the owner of the Pittsburgh Steelers, had a rule that someone black had to be interviewed to be a head coach, no matter what, in the NFL. Also, we're going to talk about the top-rated draft prospect at quarterback. We're going to talk about Baker Mayfield being hyped. The University of Miami, are they back, and how long will they be back in the championship game? We're going to talk about LeVar Ball, his loud bow, and how he talks about Luke Walton. And also, we got some entertainment because the president has truly, truly provided all the entertainment for today.
Hey, hey. Oh, yes.
So everybody sit back, relax, and enjoy yourself. We're going to have a great night tonight. We're waiting for Keon to get on the line. We're going to take us a small break. I got to be okay. Okay, you there. All right, there. We're going to take us a small break because we got to get back in this queue for a second. And we're going to bring, we're gonna bring the queue out in the show. Do we hear what we're talking about?
They ain't ready. They ain't ready for that level of comedy.
But you will hear. So give us two and two, and we'll be right back. Go and take us a break, Jap. We got to go to break.
The go to low goose. Only way I begin to G York was drug loot. And let's start it like this, son. Bowling with this one and that one. Pulling out gas for fun. But it was just a dream for the team who was a fiend. Started smoking wounds at 16. And running up in gates and doing hits for high stakes. Making my way on five skates. No question, I was speed for cracks and weed. The combination made my eyes bleed. No question, I would flow off and try to get the dough off. Sticking up right, boys on board boys. My life got no better. Same damn low sweater. Times is rough and tough like leather. Figured out I went the wrong route. So I got with a sick tight click and went all out. Catching keys from cross seas, rolling in MPVs. Every week we made 40 G's. Yo, brothers, respect mine. I ain't gonna deck now. Bam, move from the gate now.
Cash moves everything around me. Cream gets the money. Dollar bill, yo. Cash moves everything around me. Cream gets the money. Dollar bill, yo.
It's been 22 long, hard years. I'm still struggling. Survival got me bugging. But I'm alive on arrival. I'm deep at the safe of the streets. To stay awake to the ways of the world. Deep. A man with a dream. With plans to make cream. With fail. I went to jail at the age of 15. A young buck selling drugs and such. Who never had much. Trying to get a clutch on what I could not touch. The court played me so now I face incarceration. Pacing, no one up stakes my destination. Handcuffed in back of a bus, 40 of us. Life as a shorty shouldn't be so rough. But as the world turns, I learned life is hell. Living in the world no different from a cell. Every day I skate from safe, give and take. Selling bass, smoking bones in the staircase. Though I don't know why I chose to smoke steps. I guess that's the time when I'm not depressed. But I'm still depressed, and I ask what's it worth. Give up so I seek the old earth. Who explain working hard may help you maintain. To learn to overcome the heartaches and pain. We got sick of kids, corrupt cops and crack rocks and spray shot. All in a block that stays hot. Leave it up to me while I be living proof. To kick the truth to the young black youth. We shorties running wild, smoking cess, drinking beer. And ain't trying to hear what I'm kicking in his ear. Neglect it for now, but yo, it got to be accepted. The what? This life is hectic.
Cash moves everything around me. Cream gets the money. Dollar bill, yo. Cash moves everything around me. Cream gets the money. Dollar bill, yo. Cash moves everything around me. Cream gets the money. Dollar bill, yo. Cash moves everything around me. Cream gets the money. Dollar bill, yo.
Yeah.
All right, y'all, we back and we live on the line. What a night we got set up tonight. Now, first, we're going to talk about a little bit of football. First thing we want to talk about is the University of Miami. And is the University of Miami really, really ready to play in the national championship game in NCAA? We just watched the national championship. It was Alabama versus Georgia. And in my opinion, it was big boy football at its finest. I mean, it was the finest hour of Division I college football. If you're not a big-time player, you can't play at these programs. And what I saw at every position was pure dominance over the University of Miami. There was no one, in my opinion, on the University of Miami's team that would even get any playing time on either one of those teams. And that goes all the way to the kicker. Now, that's just my thoughts. That's how far away Miami is from the championship game. I think next year Miami will be better with that linebacking core and the running back that's coming in, because I think he's going to dominate college football personally. But after that, but that's it. And that's just my feeling.
We're about 2 years off, man.
About 2 years?
Yeah, we about two to three recruiting classes off. Because I heard today Alabama has 32 paraded All Americans on their roster.
Excuse me, how many?
32.
See, that's where they're getting beat, is the recruiting battle. And I'm gonna tell you something, them stars matter. I don't care what nobody say. Them stars.
Yeah, they matter, but every now and again you'll find a diamond in the rough. But Nick Saban, a recruiting genius, man. Right now, Alabama second and third string can start anywhere in the country. You bring a freshman fresh out of high school, and he outplayed a sophomore quarterback. The freshman caught the touchdown. They won with four or five freshmen on the field.
That I know, that's crazy.
So you don't think the McIntosh kid can start? You don't think the McIntosh kid or the Michael Jackson kid can start at Alabama?
No, I really don't.
In the words of Carnell, knock it off, man. Knock it off.
I really don't.
Knock it off.
You think so, Cornell?
Yeah.
No, I don't think he can start. No, he's good, but Alabama got grown men out there, man.
I'm telling you, man, they got grown men.
The school that doesn't have any predators, the school that doesn't have any known predators is LSU. They got pound for pound more than anybody. Alabama is hot, yeah, but it's all a matter of how they put it together. Okay.
Hey.
That's why Jimbo Fisher left Texas A&M. Was offering to do the same type of things Alabama is. Let me tell you this. Not to change the subject, but I'm talking about the playing field. Alabama has at least one quality control coach for every position. I said at least one. Florida State has three for the entire program. Okay.
Wow.
Alabama's quality control coaches start off at $80,000 and get paid up to $120,000. The three Florida State quality control coaches totaled about $100,000 tops without insurance. There's a difference there, fellas. There's a difference there. That's what makes the difference, is the people around them.
Yep. One of my clients, B.J. Scott, he played for the national championship winning team, Alabama team, and Jimbo was his coach. And, you know, my cousin played for Alabama as well. So I asked
Arena.
That he come on the show at some point. Yeah, Javier Arenas played that year as well. And I asked B.J. Scott was his teammate, and he's one of my clients. And I asked that he come on and talk about the behind the scenes at Alabama, because just in the project that he's working on and what I've learned from him, it speaks exactly to what you're saying. They develop strong ties and relationships, and they have very one-on-one relationships. They're closer with their individual coaches than they are with Saban. Saban is very distant, but those defensive coaches and those small squads, they are in those boys' lives for real.
And let me tell you something, Ronnie Harrison will be a first round pick. Ronnie's from right here in Tallahassee. Let me tell you something. Ronnie was a good football player. We ran circles around him and his team, his junior and senior year. Now he got his. I'll say that. That's a bad boy. But the growth that he's made at Alabama, and he wasn't a parade All-American. He wasn't first team. He wasn't USA Today All-American or anything else like that. Heck, I sent the parade All-American to Alabama, and he didn't play. Hardly. Roy Upchurch. Tommy, I don't know if you remember Roy. Roy was a parade All-American for us. Went to Alabama, played under Saban. I've had three kids play under Saban that started for Saban that wasn't parade. It's just a matter of when they get there, they're developed. You understand what I'm
they
saying?
Break
I mean,
them down. They break
yeah.
them down and rebuild them. And
rebuild,
it doesn't matter how
right.
big of a star you were. It doesn't matter how big of a star you were in your hometown. Under Nick Saban's staff, and his vision, it doesn't matter what skill set you bring.
Yeah.
They're breaking you down and starting you
yep.
all over again. They rebuild it.
No doubt. I mean, Tommy, I know you love Jacobs. Jacobs looked at how Alabama was working, and it was like, no, I think I'm going to go to Florida State. There was a huge difference. There was a huge difference there. And Jacob would be a second or third-round pick. You know?
Yeah. You're right.
But the University of Miami – they on the right track. They got some guys. They got some guys in there that's chopping that wood. They're on the right track. I'm glad that they're gonna have a quarterback competition. Everybody keep talking about this Nicosa Perry kid. I'm gonna tell you, this kid from Central Gwinnett is my pick to be the quarterback next year. He's 6'3", 220 pounds.
Anybody but Rozier.
Yeah.
Anybody but Rozier.
From Central Gwinnett took
but him.
I'm
going to say that because, again, we go back to what I said years ago on this show. I said that – I'm looking at the text messages over here. Years ago, I said that boy shouldn't have been recruited to the University of Miami. You had – in the city of Miami at that time, you had what was the kid that played for USF just now? Just led them to the bowl game.
Quentin
Flowers at the time, and you also had Tyler Huntley, who's now at Utah.
Oh, I knew that was Tyler.
Hold on. He was the Florida Gatorade Player of the Year with 3,636 yards his senior year. So you got to give him credit now.
Okay.
And for them to go to Alabama and pick up a two-star athlete. It really pissed me off. It did.
That was the work of the worst coach in University of Miami history.
You say that, and I hear you. But I got to wonder. I really got to wonder, is that true? Because I got to look at who set the foundation. Who set the foundation of sorryness?
Hey.
Come on now.
Tommy.
Talk to me.
Tommy.
Who said
Tommy.
It? Who set
I ain't
the
even going there with
sorryness?
You, man. I ain't going there with you, man.
Who wasted scholarships on a whole team? A whole team that didn't pan out. Nobody in that class panned out except
for
Sean Smith. That's it.
But wait a second.
The
wait a second.
One
but
player.
Wait a second. Wait a second, but that contradicts your prior statement of stars and all that stuff matter because
yeah,
because
all the players were four or five-star players.
They wasn't stars. They wasn't five stars. Go back and look at
that.
They
were the number one recruit
stars.
Class in the country, Tommy.
Collectively, they were. Collectively. Okay.
Wait a second.
They were not. Those boys wasn't five stars like that.
The NFL ain't made up of five-star players. The NFL are made up of blue-collar guys.
Here we go.
So what are we talking about?
Here we go.
Cleon, listen to this.
There's a difference.
What does that have to do with Al Golden?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. I mean, it's just
why Alabama keep winning?
It's just because his coaching is so much different. Let me tell you something. once, let me give you another example. You go to a lot of summer camps when high school coaches could work summer camps. You see coaches working summer camps. They may pull out their phone and get a call from their wife and take their call from their wife or whatever. Blah blah blah. You go to Alabama. I've been on the field at a summer camp, seeing a coach who had a prominent recruit that Alabama was recruiting hop on his cell phone. Nick Saban sent one of the GAs over there and said, told him to get off the field or coach. Bottom line, said we're not paying him to talk on the phone. His mentality is completely different. His mentality and the way he goes at things is completely different. That's why it's such a revolving door. That's right. That's why it's such a revolving door around there.
Mm-hmm.
Dable ain't gonna stay long. Lane didn't stay long. Look at Derek Ansley. Derek Ansley got far away from there. Pruitt is more like Saban than anybody that's left him. Jimbo, Kirby, whoever. Tosh to a certain extent is a lot like the outside linebackers coach. Is a lot like him. All right. He told a grown man on the phone that he could not be on the phone talking to his wife.
Mm-hmm. And Betty jumped
camp.
Off that phone too. Betty jumped off that phone.
Yeah, he got off the phone.
Betty jumped off that phone.
Yeah, he got off the phone.
Yeah.
Yep. It's a difference.
Yeah.
So but what I'm talking about with them stars, I don't buy into all of them stars. I mean, you got good football players that work. UCF ain't made up of a bunch of five stars at all. And they kicked a lot of five-star tail against Auburn. A lot of.
They got lucky. They had a good game. They had a good night.
They got lucky 13 times. They got lucky 13 times is what they did there.
You know, I'm just clowning them because their program
is
relatively new.
Yeah. I don't buy into the star thing. Five stars sizzle just as much as no stars rise, you know? You look at Bo Scarborough. He was Mr. Everything.
I never was impressed with him.
Well, I'm glad you said his name because I got a friend of mine. He's gonna remain nameless, but we just refer to him as my fishing buddy. Yes, y'all know who he is. He asked me some stuff about Bo Scarborough in a text message this week. Did y'all hear what Bo Scarborough said as he walked in the tunnel? Did y'all hear
F-Trump.
That?
Yeah, F-Trump. Yeah.
Now, let's ask. Now, I was at work and I was talking. I won't say with who, but I was talking with someone at work, and they asked me, "Did I feel as if he was done or not, Bo Scarborough?" You know what my answer was? No, he's not done. They're not gonna get rid of him. He is the best running back on the best team in the planet.
You think he's the best running back?
Oh yeah.
Or the best team in the planet.
Alabama, the best team.
No, he's
Alabama.
Not the best running back on that team, Tom.
Damn.
Alabama.
The best
Alabama
running back on the team
is
that freshman.
I think Alabama beat the Cleveland Browns. I really do. I do.
Hey.
And I'm not playing around. I mean, every word of that. I believe.
You might be right. That ain't that hard.
I believe that they would beat the Cleveland Browns. I believe they'd hem Duke Johnson a little butt up, and I do. And that quarterback, oh my God! From one quarterback to another. Let me explain something to y'all. Let me explain to y'all the level of difficulty on that last play that he made. Number one, he just gave up a sack and lost 20 yards. Okay. So he was looking at a 2nd and 41, all right? He came out against a cover two, against a hellacious defense. Let me make sure I say that. That also featured number 44, Jawan Taylor, from the mighty Hallandale High Chargers. Let me make sure I say that.
He might be partial.
He came out in the biggest game of his life. And looked that safety off like a seasoned pro. You hear me?
Wow.
He looked him off like a pro. Did you see that?
The other kid better learn how to run pass better.
Yeah.
He didn't
even
run pass.
They well, don't make any money.
But we need to come. But listen,
I never thought he was any good, anyhow.
Well, listen. Once again, we talking about. Listen, Saban's playing chess while everybody else is playing checkers. In second and 41, there's no need on God's green earth. I don't care what nobody says. There's no need on God's green earth to be in a cover two. Okay, there's no need. You go cover four. You keep everything in front of you. What you scared of, the screen? What are you scared of, the screen? You scared of the kick? You scared of his kicker? Who that if you want to find the Achilles heel in Alabama, it's their special teams. Has been for the last 7 years.
Well, that's how they lost against Auburn, remember? That's how they lost against Auburn.
They've lost more games than just Auburn. I mean, that kicker, he can't recruit a kicker to save his life. Okay? There's no need to be in the cover two right there. No need whatsoever. You can play cover four. You keep everything in front of you. Now, granted, Mel Tucker gets paid the big bucks, but I bet you if he had to do it all over again, he wouldn't have been in two. He'd have been in three or four. Now for those people who don't know what coverages are, cover two is your corner. Your corner is not responsible for anything deep. Your corner is responsible for the flats. He's supposed to ride
That's
the
right.
receiver. And ride the receiver inside and bring him to the safety. If he has anything in the flat, he comes up and hits it. If cover four, you got your corners going the quarter of the field. Just split the field up into four. All right, and you got your corners going straight back. That's the only responsibility. Get as deep as the deepest man on that side of the field.
I'm gonna tell you like this.
Same thing with one safety.
That's right. The same thing with one safety. I'm gonna tell you like this right here. I'm gonna take if you take every second or maybe even third string, mostly third string quarterback in the NFL, the young ones, I don't believe they're gonna make that throw. That's how good I think this boy is. They're not gonna make that throw.
Now, granted,
that on a rope.
He did a great job with his eyes. He did a great job with his eyes moving that safety. But number 14,
he threw it on a rope.
People went after 14 the whole night. 14 never jammed him inside, never rolled him. He played it terribly. Okay, to even give that safety a chance to get back over there. All right, I mean that was a flaw. You don't leave that. That's my point about the coaching. You don't leave that kid in two. He was getting toasted all night. Name one other corner that was getting toasted like him Monday night. I'll wait. There wasn't none. He was the only one getting destroyed.
I named one from 2 weeks ago, D. Delaney. There go one for the University of Miami.
And let me tell y'all something. I'm gonna change the narrative real quick. Y'all gonna see the coming out party of Jalen Ramsey on Saturday or Sunday. Now, that's going to be a heck of a matchup. Now, that boy, they're going to ball out, but go right back ahead. I'm sorry.
Are you talking about that cornerback from Jacksonville?
Yes, sir. He's going to ball out.
Yeah, from Florida State. Yeah, he's a hell of a football player. He's a hell of a football player. And he also, what was he? What star was he coming out of high school? What was he? He was a five.
That's what I thought.
Tommy, you know who else was a five star coming out of high school?
There's a lot of people. Sterling Palmer was one.
Tracy Howard.
Damn, Sterling Palmer.
Tracy Howard won and got coached by the worst coaching staff in University of Miami
district. Right now, you had like Tracy Howard playing football at a lot of his
Park
somewhere. Did he live up to his
advertisement when he came out of high school?
Nobody lives up to the advertisement.
He plays for the Miami Dolphins.
Tracy Howard's with the Miami Dolphins now. He's not with Cleveland.
I didn't know that. Did you know that, Cornell? I didn't know that.
No, I thought he was still in Cleveland.
No,
me
he's
too.
Dolphins.
Wow.
He signed with the Dolphins.
Where's he coming from?
A couple weeks.
He went to Miramar.
He's coming from Carroll. He what? Where is he coming from?
He went to Kansas City. He went to Kansas City and then went to Miramar, if I remember correctly.
Hey, but you had a coaching staff turn a five-star bump and run cornerback into a zone cornerback who would get ate up and went undrafted. But Randy Shannon, the worst coaching staff, with the worst coach in Miami. Come on, man.
Go your boy.
But tell him, Cardell, knock it off.
Knock it off, man.
Over there.
Tommy got a person to gripe. What? You want Tommy to get a person to gripe against somebody? It don't matter what they do.
Yeah, boy. You're right.
No. Fair.
Cleon, then he sit up there taking a skinning and grinning up there with Al Gold.
Listen, Cornell, if you put Donald Trump right in front of that Joker right now, he gonna skin and grin with him.
He'll be looking like Steve Harvey.
I ain't doing all that. Now, would I shake the man's hand? I'm gonna be honest with you. Would I shake the man's hand? I probably would. I'm gonna tell you why I shake his hand though. Just hear me out. That's the message of my man. I shake his hand because that way I know I get close enough to tell him what I want to tell him.
You're gonna let him know. I can say to him
what I want to say to him and how I really feel. Because you know, he do stuff to try to balance his dumb comments out. Like he just made Martin Luther King's, I think it was the church or the home, a national historic landmark.
Monument.
Y'all know that, right? Anybody know that?
I thought the one over there, the Ebenezer Church and the whole, I looked all this up.
He just did this year. Because I thought
it
was a whole
thing.
Oh, he get a point
for
that? It should have been done years ago. Kudos to him on that one. It should have been done before we could wipe our own behinds. Good. It should have been done.
But for you to get up there and make the comment about a third world country that, in my opinion, poses no threat to you, military wise, they have no export or imports that would affect the United States. The citizens that are here from that country, for the most part, living here, thriving here,
the workforce here, yeah.
Either are stuck in poverty or had to start in poverty to get to wherever they are now. For you to make a comment like that about that country, and it wasn't just Haiti, you know.
It was African too.
It was El Salvador and a couple other African countries he was talking about. But for you to make those comments right there, it's insensitive, it's disparaging, and it's utterly ridiculous to come from the leader of the free world. And that's just my opinion on that. I think usually we don't get political on here, but I think I can say something about that. Now, that's ridiculous. That don't make
sense.
Let's get into a comment.
Let's get into the mind of a lunatic right here, okay? Lunatic being our president. He knows that them people didn't vote for him the first time, and they ain't going to vote for him the second time. So he don't care if he alienate them. He got in without them the first time. So who cares if he alienate
them?
Y'all already know my opinion on that.
I'll let y'all hash that out. That ain't got nothing to do with me. What y'all believe?
Here's my thing.
Moving forward, and I know we talk sports on here, and now we into politics. We talk everything. Oprah for 2020. I think that's gonna be the new narrative now. It'll be Oprah.
Yeah.
There's also a guy on Instagram by the name of L. Bronson. If y'all don't know L. Bronson, please go on Instagram and look him up. And he's totally against Oprah being president.
Yeah.
Hold on. This is what I want to understand. Why would you want Oprah to be president? Because she made a good speech.
I think me and you can get voted in, Cornell, just because folks don't want Trump. You know what I'm saying?
You'll be surprised. People tell you they don't want him, and then when they go inside that booth, it's a whole nother story now.
Listen, look at the narrative. Look at the narrative here. You got Oprah billionaire, Donald Trump billionaire.
Oprah, big brand.
Large following. Donald Trump, large following. You got Oprah. Oprah is what?
Black
a Democrat?
Woman.
She's Democrat,
and a black
right?
woman. Yeah.
She's transcended that. Because of her money. All right.
Well,
yeah, she's
no, that
vote.
Ain't true, Tommy. That ain't true.
She don't get
what,
vote.
It's a whole new demographic out here with black women. It's a whole different narrative for black women right now. Yeah.
Now, you know her and Trump friends now, and I'm just going to have to just go over and say that. They are friends, you know.
Yeah, they're friends. They're friends.
It's just something to keep in mind. I don't think she'll run for president, though.
I mean, she ain't. Why would if she did, would you vote for her?
Yeah,
I vote for
her.
Hold on, let me say this. I just heard Sally say she would. Now y'all just got finished bitching about Donald Trump don't have no kind of political stance. So now you gonna do the same thing.
You gonna do the same thing.
Oprah has more skills with public relations and is better I think she's better at knowing policy and laws.
Why?
And she's probably more intelligent because she is. You can tell by the content of her conversation that she has more going
on
upstairs
than
he does.
Hold on. You honestly think Oprah coming up with that stuff or somebody write that stuff for?
Oprah is an educated woman, and I believe she does write her own content, and she leads those people.
What qualifies her to be a president? Because she can make a good speech.
But Pandora's box was open. You said what qualifies her to be the president? Pandora's box was open.
So y'all know how I feel about voting. But so you keep doing the same foolishness, hoping for a different result.
I think she knows more about policy than Trump does. She was a reporter before she was a talk show host. She was a news reporter, and she's a journalist and a writer.
That's right.
She was a news reporter. Yes.
What they got to do with politics?
Everything, because you can't go.
Y'all let this dude really lower the bar. So if that's King, are you want to get on the ticket? Man, you can run. All we gotta do is watch CNN and Fox and NBC, and then come up with regurgitate everything they say on TV. Here's what's hilarious from all this.
I wouldn't vote for neither one of y'all for the city commissioner a lot of here. That's what's sad. I wouldn't vote for neither one of y'all.
Free black and mild for everybody. Hey.
See that?
Free black
and mild. Whiskey. What is that?
Free black and mild for each and E and J for everybody.
I can see Cornell now. Ain't
going to
be no school this day.
You see Cornell do it, boy. Cornell finna get his own, his personal reparation.
Yeah.
Cornell finna get a proclamation.
He finna
get a day.
We finna get my own reparation. I'm on black reparation shit. I'm going to get mine.
We going with 4-day week, Friday, Saturday, Sunday is the weekend, and we're going to have a Jewish holiday every other Monday. We good. So that drop it up to four. But what about John Gruden? What about John Gruden, Tommy? What you think about that Lauderdale legend? What about John Gruden? Does he work that much?
Now let me give some background information to those that might not know. Like I said earlier, the Rooney Rule, late Dan Rooney, the owner of the Pittsburgh Steelers, before he died, he made it a rule amongst all owners that whenever there was a coaching opening, head coach opening that someone black had to be interviewed. This is a white man that went out his way to do so. And ironically, well, I don't know. Did he hire Mike Tomlin? Was he alive?
Yeah, I don't know. Yes, he hired Mike Tomlin. Yes, he hired
his
Mike
family
Tomlin.
Did it. Yeah. Obviously, his son had to do
not
it.
Too far.
No, he was the coach. I mean, he was the owner. He was the owner at that point. I think he was the owner for like 2 years of that.
Who
Bill
was the
Cowher.
Coach before Tomlin?
Bill Cowher.
Cowher, and then before Cowher, the Steelers would have been Chuck Noll, right?
Chuck Noll.
It was Chuck Noll. If he's wrong, I know Chap looking it up right now, so he'll tell us in a second. But that's three coaches that probably spanned how many years? Shoot. That spanned about 40, 50 years almost.
Right.
So with that being said, what we're trying to say anyway to those of you all that are listening is that John Gruden got the job as the head coach at the Oakland Raiders, if I'm correct. Right, y'all?
Mm-hmm.
And my thing is this. He got the job so fast. And how much money are they giving him? $10 million, $20 million?
What is it? They did interview. They interviewed two black coaches, Tommy. They interviewed a tight end coach, and then they interviewed T. Martin from the – You remember T. Martin played for Tennessee, and now he's the offensive coordinator for USC.
They interviewed T. Martin for a head coach in the NFL?
Because it's a token.
Nah, he's not ready. He ain't been a head coach at the college level.
Is the Rooney Rule a joke? Because they knew that T. Martin wasn't going to win. They had their bullseye. Listen, that's why it's important for people like Kevin Sumlin, who is haggling over a couple of dollars from the University of Arizona, to become a head coach again, and hire people from minority backgrounds. Okay, that's why it's important for those guys to pave the way, like Tony Dungy. Like Tony Dungy did, like Lovie Smith did, like Dennis Green did. That's why it's important. That's why college football and even the NFL needs people like Kevin Sumlin to help offset this Rooney Rule. You got guys in the NFL paying their dues, like Eric Bieniemy. Eric Bieniemy should be just got promoted to being an offensive coordinator. Right. Look for Eric Bieniemy in the next couple of years. With the help of Kareem Hunt and some other guys to get to be mentioned as head coaches. Okay, you look at Willie Taggart. Willie Taggart's doing a great job. Where Jimbo and don't get me wrong, I love Jimbo. Jimbo's my guy. Jimbo had Odell had about three black coaches. Okay, Taggart's going to have about two white coaches. So the narrative there is getting ready to change. And those guys are hungry, okay? Look for Lauderhill's very own Archie Denson real soon to be an offensive coordinator. And those things will we talk about trickle down. Those things should cycle up into the NFL. You look at Derek Ansley, the DB coach at the University of Alabama. He got hired on at Colorado State. And then before he could even step foot on Colorado State's campus to do a whole day's work, became the DB coach for John Gruden. Look for DA to come up pretty fast here. All right, look for him to come up pretty fast. He ended up saying no to Colorado State and is now John Gruden's secondary coach. He's going to be a defensive coordinator real soon. I bet by the time they get to Los Angeles, and it'll grow. But the Rooney Rule is a joke because we as black coaches won't hire our own people like so many.
Let me tell you something about this. Well, I know somebody that is at the high school level. Well, every week we have to talk about this school, the mighty St. Thomas Aquinas Raiders. The greatest school in Broward County, located at 2801 Southwest 12th Street in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 3321.
That's right.
12. Area code, home of numerous state championships. I forgot how many state championships we got. the home of the Edwards State Championship.
Countless.
Starting in December 27th, 1991 by yours truly. But anyway.
All right.
We do have a black head coach at St. Thomas Aquinas, which is a predominantly white private Catholic school.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Now, you don't know that to be true.
I can't wait till we get in the queue about, never mind, go ahead, because I've got to wait for the
queue
to go ahead.
You don't know that to be true. Nah. We have a black head coach. His offensive coordinator is black. Ryan Collins. His defensive coordinator is black. Jason Keller. And a lot of his position coaches are black. So he is bringing those people on. Roger Herring will be a college football coach one day. As we all know, the mighty, mighty
Herring
Thomas
was.
Aquinas.
He's
ready,
already.
Ready.
He was at FAU.
He was
at FAU.
Already.
And got out.
We don't rebuild, we reload. Okay? Well, again,
you raked the community.
How are we getting from the community? Can we go into the quarterback thing? Can we stay on? We don't recruit.
We don't rebuild. We reload, and that's what we do.
So wait a minute. What happened to Roger? He's no longer the head coach. Ryan's the head coach.
No. When did that happen? He's the head coach. Okay. The point I'm making is what Cleon was saying, is bringing other guys in, you know. But as with anything else, the pressure to win, to me, is much more immense when you have an all-black coach. So I'm just going to put it out there. All right.
Oh, damn. You got a short one.
Steve Smith had a different show going on.
It was effective. Now, don't get me wrong. It was effective because I'm a part of that tree. So I got to get that, you know. He was a good coach now. He knew how to. Who you say was a good coach? George Smith was a good coach, man.
Well, he was good, but he wasn't no Otis Gray.
He wasn't better than Otis Gray. Actually, there was a poll on there about that, and actually George Smith ended up winning. But I didn't.
I know.
I go with Otis Gray. I'm gonna keep it real. I go with Otis Gray.
Can we get on the Baker Mayfield then? Because I don't want to talk about St. Thomas.
St. Thomas is an integral part of this show, sir. You have to understand that now. St. Thomas is part of this show. So is Lord Anderson. I mean, we would talk about the championship Lord Anderson won, but we ain't talking about basketball and track and girls track. We talking about football.
Cornell, congratulations on your 25-year deal, man. Congratulations on that too.
That was after I graduated, man.
You ain't supposed to say that.
I know what team you was on. You ain't supposed to say that. Ladies and gentlemen, it was part of the Rooney rule, which is part of the plan of the night. And they got a black coach with black assistants. That's what we were talking about. Anyway, moving right along to Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield is the Heisman Trophy winner of this year. A very inspirational athlete, not only to all these kids coming up, but actually even to me, and I'll admit that. He's very inspirational because for him to go from a walk-on.
Oklahoma, I think the other one was Texas Tech.
To me, for him to do something like that, to go to the pinnacle of college football is beyond amazing. And my hat's off to him for that, for him to do that, to have the heart to walk on at two major programs like that, especially the second one after being dismissed at one that wasn't even as big as the second one, you know. To go to Oklahoma, walk on to Oklahoma, become the starter, and become the de facto leader of that whole program is amazing. Will he make it in the NFL? Only drawbacks I see, I think, are his height. I tall is he? 6'1"?
No. That's what 6 feet on a good day with a lift in his shoes. He's Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
He's Russell Wilson in football.
Okay. With lifts in his shoes.
He ain't a 6'3", 6'4" guy. You know, he's just not that. I really pulled for him. I really did. I caught myself pulling for him. You know, because one, he ain't scared to say what's on his mind, even though it went a little overboard one time and got caught on video, you know. But go on, Cornell, let me hear it.
I like him, man, but I don't think he's going to be no good pro. I don't see none of them. The best chance is the kid from UCLA.
The best quarterback is not.
What he better do is go back to school for another year.
So he showed you he was the best quarterback in that bowl game with all them interceptions.
You know what's amazing is the fact that I can't even get out my mouth who I think the best quarterback is.
Because we know who you going. You put it on Facebook all the time.
Well, let the people don't know that. Let the people hear. We got listeners. Let them hear what I'm going to say. And this is what I'm going to say. The best quarterback in the country is Sam Darnold from the University of Southern California, the mighty, mighty Trojan.
Guess what he would do in the NFL? The same thing every other USC quarterback do in the NFL. The most successful quarterback from USC is Carson Palmer.
That's it.
Do you want to go back to Jim Plunkett?
Jim Plunkett went to Stanford, man.
Okay, well, the best quarterback to come out of USC was Carson Palmer. You just surround all them kids. It was just like Ken Dorsey. It's a good college quarterback
because
you're surrounded with talent.
Somebody please hashtag Jim Plunkett. We just mentioned Jim Plunkett on this show.
I forgot he went to Stanford.
You're right,
dude. I was thinking about Heisman Trophy winner. I'm trying to think.
You must be thinking about old school quarterback USC would be what, like a Pat Hayden or somebody like that.
I don't know, but I'm telling you, USC quarterbacks never pan out in the NFL.
Your running backs are always so good at the USC. Your running backs at USC are always pretty good.
So Sam Darnold ain't going to be no different.
What about Leonard? What did Leonard do in
nothing.
The NFL?
He's a career back.
I mean,
he's a career backup.
But listen, that right there, being a career backup ain't as bad as it might sound.
No, but if you talking like this Darnold kid is like he's gonna come in and light the NFL on fire or something.
No, he's the best prospect. That's all I'm saying.
But he's not.
He's the best prospect. I would take the kid from USC.
I mean, UCLA over him.
Well, actually, Matt Leinart doesn't even play in the league anymore. He was out in
He's a sports analyst.
Yeah, he's a sports analyst, but he was a 2-time national championship winner. and won the Heisman Trophy.
Them USC quarterbacks ain't no different than Ken Dorsey.
I don't know. He's a little better than Ken Dorsey.
You surround him with talent. And he get the ball to playmakers. But you put him in the NFL, it ain't gonna work.
I hope Lamar Jackson, I hope they fall big time so the Dolphins take a leap. I hope they fall big time so the Dolphins take a leap on one of them. How about that?
I don't know about Lamar Jackson, man. I don't know, man. I like a running quarterback, but I don't like a quarterback that runs better than me compared.
I'm going to say something off the wall here.
Uh-oh.
And I'm just going to say, and I know it's not going to happen, but I'm just going to say, if Lamar Jackson just says tomorrow, comes out and says, hey, screw playing quarterback, I'm going to train to be an NFL receiver, I really believe he would have a Hall of Fame career. I do. I really do. Who in the world would stop him? Think about this. Who's going to cover him? Who can cover Lamar Jackson right now?
That's the same Thomas Tominata. Cleon, that's St. Thomas Tominata.
I'm going to tell you, you asked the question, right? I'm going to say Marcus Peters will beat him up. Jalen Ramsey will make him want to jump off the bridge.
Ramsey ain't going to guard him. No, Ramsey's a strong safety, isn't he?
Ramsey's a corner.
Okay.
What are you talking about?
All right, I'll give you that one.
I'm going to say Patrick Peterson. I'm going to say Marcus Peters. I'm going to say
He is more athletic than Patrick Peterson right now.
Xavier Rhodes. I'm going to say Xavier Rhodes. They're going to beat that boy to death. You're crazy. That boy's 175 pounds. Okay.
The only one I would take out of that would be Jalen Ramsey and maybe your boy for the St. Louis Rams, even though he don't play corner. But I just like him as a football player.
Who, LaMarcus?
I just like him as a football player, LaMarcus Joyner. But yeah.
Hey, Mr. Producer, the rest of you need to have a thing to when he go to talking crazy, say knock it off. In the Cornell, just go ahead and take
but
knock it off.
How you get a producer note? What you doing?
Let me ask you all this here. Is that really that far-fetched, what I'm saying?
Yes.
Let's say this.
Yes, far-fetched.
You would be successful.
Yes.
You don't just
roll out the bed and play wide receiver and NFL. How long he was in the league before?
Who's a better athlete?
Torrell Price.
Come on, man.
That make him the better athlete, Tommy? Is Baker Mayfield a better athlete than Terrell Price?
Listen, I'm going to tell you something else. You might think I'm crazy for saying this. I think Lamar Jackson should have won the Heisman Trophy this year. His stats were even better.
His numbers was better.
They weren't winning. That's what hurt him.
Tommy needs a break because we need to hear the entertainment thing. Tommy needs a break. He didn't reach for the stars right there. He didn't grab that star.
Look at best friend. Look at best friend. Look at best friend. Talk to me on the line.
I'm trying to
listen. We only got two minutes left, and we've been entertainment already.
Best friend said I could go on, and he gave the producer notes, so I guess it's okay. How y'all doing?
I'm trying to keep y'all on. Go ahead. That's right.
How y'all doing, everybody? It's celebration, and y'all live with us, and they talking trash. And I got a really quick story for you this evening.
Oh,
Happy
Lord.
New Year. Happy Kwanzaa. Oh, I hope y'all enjoyed yourselves this holiday. But I have one major story that I must say, just because I'm so proud of her. And I'm really excited about what is coming for this young lady in her very near future. Yara Shahidi, she has a TV show on ABC's ancillary network. Yara Shahidi is a young lady. She's an African-American actress. She is the daughter on Black-ish, on ABC's Black-ish, with Tracy Ellis and Anthony Hamilton. Yes. Highly intelligent young woman. She is going to Harvard this fall, and she has a spinoff Her TV show is called Grownish. If you're interested in hearing any more of my opinion regarding this new show, you can check it out at Celebration. And I'm going to need y'all to learn how to spell my name. Tommy been saying my name wrong for 30 years, but y'all going to get it right. It's C-E-L-L-I-B-R-A-T-I-O-N. You can catch it on Facebook. You'll see Yara's picture and the ad for the show. And I've been getting a lot of – there's been a lot of conversation about the reality series and how it's different than what they're doing with Grownish and Blackish, and how it's unrealistic for this black girl to be going to college in California and having these experiences. And I said, basically, to summarize, they said the same thing almost 20 years ago when The Cosby Show and A Different World were taking over Thursday nights on NBC. So I say more power to y'all. You're doing an excellent job. The Golden Globes Awards were just on this weekend, and women represented wearing all black, like the Omen, to make a statement, because y'all's time is up. Ain't going to be no more sexual harassment going on. You know, ladies are making a name for themselves, and they ain't making it on their back. They doing it on the strength of their mind. Yeah. Y'all going to have to recognize and give them their props. The men of gentlemanly... Gentleman persuasion,
Shelly.
Okay? Yes.
Shelly, can I ask you something?
Of course.
All right, this the entertainment
section,
right? See,
I'm being ladylike. I'm being
ladylike. I ain't
touched
nobody. Shelly, this the entertainment section.
Yeah.
All right, I need to ask, what the hell wrong with Trick Daddy? He look like goddamn Florida Evans with gold teeth.
I'm going to say the same thing to you. You done lost some viewers.
I'm gonna say the same thing to you. I said on Facebook.
Social
I bet you won't see his face. And
you
I know you from. I know
that's
you from Austin,
Trick Daddy
out there. But you say I'm gonna have to say it to you too.
Lord have
mercy. Our friend Larry Hunter decided
that's
to boycott Love & Hip Hop.
I rock with Trick. But I'm trying to figure out how come. In 90-degree weather, he
Cornell.
Keep on a scully.
Cornell. He has lupus.
That's his classmate. He got a name, too, right there, Tommy. Ooh, Lord, have mercy.
Come on.
What you say?
Listen.
That's his classmate he's going after right there, ain't it? Ooh.
Who? Yeah. Who's classmate?
We got to go in the queue for that.
Listen. We got some social media conversation about the show and about the way Trick looks on Love & Hip Hop Miami. You know, I didn't have a lot of time to talk about it. I wanted to see a couple more episodes. But I say watch it. Just watch it. They
I'm
have some very strong storylines this season. And I think it's worthy. And I'm glad to see home team securing the bag. Like, come on. Why you gonna hate on them getting a check?
Well, I ain't hating on again. I still rock with Trick. I think Trick one of the greatest to come out of South Florida behind JT Money.
He's realest next to JT Money. You right.
Nah,
he is.
But that still don't change the fact.
He has lupus, Cornell. That is why he is looking swollen and that his abdomen is protruding. Because of symptoms of lupus. It's not because he's, you know, just flopping around, but he takes
it
and
I still around with Trick, man. That's my dude. That's my dude. But
no, you
what,
had
what,
what's,
what,
no. Why you had to bring up the Florida Evans? Why you had to bring up the meme where they put him next to Florida Evans talking about some damn. Y'all wrong for that. Leave that man alone. Y'all need to stop playing with Trick. I'm not here for that.
Nobody
he's
on the internet won't go to Twitch and say that this day. Nobody.
if we get Twitch to say damn. Oh, my God.
They ain't going to get me to talk bad about Maurice Young. Maurice Young is really tired.
I don't see how he looks like Florida Evans.
He does not look like Florida Evans. Stop it.
Yeah. No, I'm saying I don't see that in whatever.
Okay.
I've been trying to figure out
about lupus the other day by one of our classmates who suffered from it and
I had a friend pass away from that, so I ain't laughing at that.
And my one of my close friends' mom is a lupus. She has lupus as well, and she has a foundation. If you're interested in finding out more, you can find out about it at celebration.com because, yes, I wrote an article or two about it. So thank y'all for letting me talk tonight in between y'all football conversation. You know, thanks.
No, well, that was cool. that was all right. Anyway, like I said, don't anybody, y'all better leave Trick Daddy alone. What do you
want? Hey, Trick, where did you come from? Hey,
I ain't like the rest of you
Florida cats. I'm a Florida boy through and through. I ain't going to be on. Oh, I grew up on the Wu-Tang Clan, and it is.
I did.
Get out of here,
well,
man. Brother Marquis.
That might be my Instagram. My Instagram live in the morning. Everybody, I go live on Fridays on Instagram at 7 a.m. at 6:55 a.m.
Word to God, it's the
Wu coming through. That's what we grew up on, Tommy. So stop it with all this Wu-Tang junk.
We
gonna
grew up
go
on
live
all of that.
Say. I don't understand. Yeah. I can't believe this man is disrespecting the greatest collection of MCs ever.
Ever.
Hey, man.
You know.
So that ain't what I grew
rap.
Up on.
J.C. Money.
We grew up on J.C. Money.